Now, Psalm 93. I'm entitling the message from the words found in the first verse, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord reigns. God is God in all the earth. God is God. Beside Him there is no other. Not only is this the theme of this psalm, but can't we truly and rightly say that that is the theme of all Scripture? One radiant theme beams through all the pages of Scripture, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, who can do that but God Almighty, who reigns supreme over all things? Not only does this psalm ring true with the sovereignty of God, but all of Scripture does as well. Not only is that so, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel of the sovereign Lord, the Almighty Lord. And I rejoice, as we read just a moment ago, there in Revelation 19, where they said, "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth," and they were glad. They did rejoice. I'm thankful that God Almighty is the sovereign over all things. You know, when you think about it, that's a pleasant thought. That is a pleasant thought. The God we worship reigns supreme. That gives me comfort. That tells me that everything that transpires in my life comes to pass in my life and yours is ordered and ordained of God. The steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered of the Lord. God is God in all things. And it's a pleasant thought. Our Lord is sovereign over all things. And we often mention three things, but it goes so much further than those three things. God is sovereign in creation, created all things by the word of His power. All things are held together by the word of His power. All things consist together, held together by the word of His power. He's sovereign in creation, and He's sovereign in providence. Those things that transpire in time do so because sovereign in providence, sovereign in creation. And my friend, the Lord our God is sovereign in salvation. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. Let us, my friend, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Look over at Psalm 97, verse 1. We're going to see this in several psalms as we study through these next few psalms. The Lord reigneth. It keeps repeatedly saying this. Notice Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes, the isles thereof be, let them be glad thereof. In Psalm 99, turn over there. Psalm 99. Look at verse 1 there. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Look at verse 9 in that Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God, He is holy. He is holy. Now, I want us to consider this short psalm in the light of the gospel of Christ, for it celebrates His person, His glory, His kingdom, and His majesty. And certainly included in this psalm is the victory the Lord Jesus Christ wins over all opposition.
opposition. He has some vowed enemies, but the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious over all opposition. One of the key verses in the book of Revelation, you want to know the key verse? To me it is. It just unlocked it to me. In Revelation 6, verse 2, it says, "He went forth conquering and to conquer." He's never lost a fight, never lost a battle. The Lord our God is not a defeated, frustrated Savior. He is a victorious, conquering King. "I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore." I like the verse in Matthew 16 where the Lord says to Peter, "I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against my purpose." Why? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord Jesus Christ as our God. The Lord Jesus Christ as our God.
Does reign, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. He has no beginning of his reign, his sovereign dominion that is absolute
and eternal, has no beginning and has no end. The Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator of the covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ over the kingdom of his grace. Grace does reign through righteousness unto eternal life. I don't believe there's an end to grace, do you? Grace reigns supreme eternally. He does reign supreme and absolute over all things. Over all things. Especially in salvation. Turn over here to Ephesians. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Did you ever notice closely the words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11? "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of God, of him
doesn't need our permission to act, does he? What a foolish statement to think God needs our permission to act. God doesn't answer to us. He answers to none. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. His will be done. That we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. He said in that covenant language, "I will be and you shall. I will be your God and you shall. I will and you shall. I will be your God and you shall be my people. I will not depart from you and you shall not depart from me. They shall be my people and I will be their God. I'll give them one heart and one way and they may fear me forever. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their heart, and they shall not depart from me. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He works all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, this message, God's absolute total sovereignty, to have mercy upon his covenant people, for which he obtained eternal redemption for them, this is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel.
The Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme, satisfying God's law. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme in honoring that law, not only in precept, but in penalty. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns supreme in putting away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That is the message of the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. That's not the message of the gospel. I think I've given this to you before, but you know, and you check me out on it. I don't mind you checking me out. But all through the preaching recorded in the book of Acts, Peter, Paul, all those messages are recorded in the book of Acts where the apostles went forth preaching the gospel. You know how many times they mentioned the love of God? Not one time. Not one time. And they certainly never did say that God loves everybody without exception. That's just not so. You know what our message is this? Their message was the same. This same Jesus whom you crucified is what? Lord! God reigns. Now bow to Him. Bow to the sovereign crown rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not God loves everybody. That's not good news. That's not good news.
If God loves everybody, what some of those folk doing over in hell? If God loves everybody
and some went to hell, His love ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Isn't that right? That's right. You see the message of the gospel. Turn over here to Isaiah 52. Lord reigneth. Reigneth. He's Lord. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue going to confess. Look at that. Isaiah 52. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue going to confess that He's what? Sweet Jesus trying to. You won't let Him. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord reigneth. Isaiah 52. If you got verse 7 marked, if you don't, you need to mark it. How beautiful, this is quoted in Romans 10, remember? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that publish, that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace. Peace with the blood, peace through the blood of Christ. He made peace for us with His own blood. You remember Colossians chapter 1? That bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion. What's those three words? God wants to and can. He's trying to and you won't let Him. That's not good news. That's not good news. You see, I'm a dead sinner. If God Almighty's not almighty to raise me from the dead, this sinner has no hope. The Lord God reigneth. Reigns. He reigns. You see, this is not just a message that we are to select and preach to a few. This is a message that we are to tell
everybody, God reigns. Let me show you that. Turn back to the Psalms. Look at Psalm 96, verse 10. You see, this is not just family talk. Although it is. We're instructed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that what it says?
Preach the gospel now. What is the gospel? The Lord reigns. He's victorious in putting away our sin, in accomplishing salvation. We're to say and declare this message to everybody. Psalm 96, look at verse 10. Say among the heathen, smile, God loves you. That's not what it says. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. Who are we to tell and preach about the sovereignty of God to? Every creature. My friend, it's included in the gospel. The world also shall be established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. What's the standard of judgment? Well, do the best you can. You know, everything will be okay. You know, pay your bills. Don't beat your wife. Work hard. Go to church. Give your tithe. You know, everything will be okay. Oh, no. No, no. He judges. He judges righteously. Remember that verse over in Acts 17 where Paul preaching those philosophers on Mars Hill. He said, God hath appointed a day and which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus.
The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to Christ. All judgment is relative to the Lord who reigns.
They sang a song during that song service, and they sang something along the line, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. And you know what the old man did? He got up and he said, there's not a word of truth in that. Those folks about fell out of their pew. What have we done here? We've invited a man that's a monster. And he said, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves. Did you ever meet him? Don't tell me who your Savior is. Tell me who your Lord is. He came preaching the Lordship of Christ. God is sovereign in salvation. You see the point I'm making here?
The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. He reigns supreme in creation, providence, and salvation.
He came as the reigning king, didn't he?
When the Lord our God was manifested in the flesh, the wise men, they came. You remember what they asked? Where is he that's what? Born king. He's not going to be king someday. He king when he got here. He came as king. He came as king. And you know what? Not only was he born king, he lived as king, accomplished our salvation as the reigning king.
He died as...
Do you think it's any accident that Pilate and put it over his cross? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King.
And the Pharisees got mad and don't
write that he is the King, write that he said he was. And Pilate said, you remember, what I've written, I've written. And he did so by the decree of the reigning King himself. You see, he was born as King, lived as king, died as king, arose from the grave. Death couldn't hold him. Arose from the grave as king.
Remember in Matthew 28, he said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel.
Knowing what? I have all power.
Knowing that God is king, that God reigns over all.
He arose from the grave as king. He ascended to glory as the, what? Reigning king, seated on the throne. You remember Psalm 110? God said, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Now, I told you this is a short psalm, but it's got a big message, doesn't it? It's got a long message. And my friend,
the Lord Jesus Christ is one day.
You know what it says in the Revelation? It said, behold, he cometh. You know in chapter 1 it says that? Behold, he cometh. What does that mean? It means he's on his way. And then in Revelation 22 it says, behold, he cometh. Come quickly. Come quickly. He's coming back. He's coming back as what? King. As king. Reigning king. And he will judge all things according to that exact standard of holiness. Now, you got the first point, verse 1. Here's the second point in verse 1. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he had girded himself. Where did he get such sovereignty? Where did he get such power and dominion? The world is established that it cannot be moved. The Lord is clothed with majesty and strength. And we think about the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh, although he was clothed with a body prepared by God, a body without sin, but still, even in his humanity, he never stopped being the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Did he? Remained what he was, became what he was not. Remember they said when the ship was going down and the disciples said, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing? The boat is sinking. Wake up." And he came forth and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And they said, "Behold, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Others had this testimony that no man spake like that man. He raised the dead. He spake and the blind received their sight. He's clothed and covered, arrayed with majesty, with excellent things, his glory, his deity, excellent things. He's clothed and covered with power and strength, excellent things. Turn back over here to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. He's clothed, he's arrayed, he's manifested in glory, majesty, excellent things. Look at verse 4. And 5 of Isaiah 12. "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent thing. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel, and he's in the midst of thee." He's clothed with strength. You see that word? He's clothed with power. Power. Dominion. He has all power. All authority. He has girded himself with glory and majesty. And notice it says he had girded himself. His majesty and his glory and the excellency of his deity come not from outside, from an outside source, but from himself. For the Lord Jesus Christ, it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. Therefore, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You see that? The world also is established that it cannot be moved. And his kingdom, the world of his kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. We read in Psalm 145. Thy kingdom is just that. Everlasting, isn't it? It's an everlasting kingdom. You remember back over here in Psalm 90? Turn over there. Psalm 90. His throne. We're going to talk about that in verse 2. Psalm 90. The Lord, verse 1. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God." He reigns supreme over all things, and his kingdom of grace is an everlasting kingdom. Now look back at the text. Psalm 93, verse 2. "Thy throne." Thy throne. Now, the king has to have a throne. The king has to have a throne. It's the throne of justice and judgment. But thank God in Christ Jesus, it's the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace. "Thy throne is established of old." Now, how long has he been on the throne? As long as God has been God. "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." His throne is like his dominion. His throne is like his kingdom, established from everlasting, prepared from eternity. It's an ancient throne. It's an ancient throne. It's no new throne. It's no new. He's no new startup. He's no rookie, is he? He's no amateur. He's the sovereign upon the throne. His throne is as old and eternal as God.
I like in the study of the Revelation, it's all about the Lamb. But in those early chapters, it's amazing how many times it talks about the Lamb upon His throne. The Lamb upon His throne. Thy throne is established of old. It's an everlasting throne. Now think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ came here and dwelt among us, where did He come from? He came from the throne, right? He came from the throne. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. He came from the throne. And then when He accomplished our salvation, where did He go? Back to where He came from. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. Aren't you glad for the everlasting throne that is established of old? Thou art from everlasting, everlasting. Now, I want you to look at verse 3 for a moment. The floods have lifted up. Oh Lord, the floods have lifted up. They've lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Now, what's being said here? The floods. Now, I know a little bit about floods. I've been through a few floods, and they cause a lot of destruction, don't they? Some of you have been with me in those floods. A lot of mud, a lot of work, a lot of toil, a lot of heartache. That's what floods bring. They bring heartache. They bring trial. The waves, now I'll show you something here. Stay with me. This will help you. It helped me. The waves and floods of the enemies have lifted up their voice against the Lord. There's a wave and there's a flood of lies that Satan is still telling. Adam, you know, you'll be like God. And that's the same lie that's being promoted among religious people today. God can't act without your permission. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. The waves and floods of the enemies against the gospel have lifted up the voice against the Lord, their voice against the Lord in opposition to the gospel, in opposition to His truth. But the gospel fire cannot be quenched. The flood of lies that Satan unleashes cannot drown out or stop the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many waters, it says in Song of Solomon, many waters cannot quench His love. The flood of lies. Now, here's the scripture I want you to turn to. And here's what I see. Turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. The dragon, Satan, in Revelation 12, wages war against the woman. Persecuted the woman, Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Now, talking about the gospel and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel being preached in verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for time and times and half times. And it's 3.5 years. The same as the 42 months. It's the same as the 1260 days. The whole time from the first coming of the Lord to the second coming of the Lord. From the face of the serpent. Now here's what I want you to see. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now what does he speak? Look at Revelation 13 verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme His name, His tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman,
that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. The floods, what did we read back here? Floods have lifted up their voice, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. Now what's going to happen? Look at verse 16. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, that is, believe the gospel, and they have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, verse 16, the earth helped the woman. The earth opened up her mouth. You know what that's talking about there? I tell you what that's talking about. The worldly, ungodly people, they open up their mouth and they swallow up the lie of Satan. The floods have lifted up their voice, but he provides a great place of nourishment in Christ Jesus. He is the city of refuge for us. Now back to the text. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Now, look at verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier. You see, he caused the earth to open up his mouth and swallow up those waters. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. He's mightier. God is bigger than any lie that Satan could ever promote. God is bigger. He is bigger. He is better. The lie that Satan and his angels of light and his ministers of righteousness, all the lies that he promotes and they spread, the Lord is greater and mightier than all. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord is mightier and greater than all. You remember back at Psalm 2? Turn over there to Psalm 2. Devils rage, don't they? Psalm 2, you remember? Devils and men are full of rage, full of malice. But the Lord is able to subdue them, isn't he? He's able to conquer them. Able to make him bow to his rule. Why do the heathen rage? See verse 1. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I've set my king. There's the kingship again. The Lord, I've set my king upon my hill, holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. God's truth will endure. The gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness. Then cometh the end. That's what the book says. The gospel, you cannot stomp and stamp out the gospel witness. The gospel will go forth. The Lord is mightier than any lie that Satan can promote. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. He will send out the gospel. Now look at verse 5 in closing. Thy testimonies
are very sure. Very sure.
Holiness.
Word is
holy, holy, Lord God,
O Lord, forever. Now here's a blessed conclusion. God's testimony,
the gospel of God, the
testimony of God
concerning the gospel
of the Lord Jesus Christ, certain, sure, very sure.
Ordered in all things and certain and sure. The Lord Jesus Christ
as the reigning king, shall never fail, shall never be conquered.
He is the surety of the everlasting kingdom. The word of his promise is sure. Now let's find 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm persuaded, like Abraham of old, that all
But as God is true, our word, 2 Corinthians 1:18, our word, our preaching, our message to you was not yea and nay. It wasn't yea and nay preaching. Maybe, could be, you know. Maybe God will, maybe he won't. No, our gospel is not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me,
Silas and Timothy, was not yea and nay. But in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him is yes.
Is there salvation in him?
Well, maybe or maybe not. Not yea and nay. Is there pardon in him? Well, maybe. Yea or no. In him is yes. You see that? In him is yes. Yes, there is salvation in him. Yes, there is pardon in him. Yes, there is righteousness imputed in him. For all the promises of God in him are yes.
And in him, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. The word of God is certain and sure.
You remember these words? He said, heaven and earth is going to pass away.
It is. Remember what he said about his word? My word shall never pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. We can never make a mistake receiving his word. Not as the word of men, but as it is the word of truth, the word of God that worketh in us. We can never make a mistake by receiving and believing the word of his promise. And his word of his promise is based upon what? It's impossible from God to lie. Now there's some things God can't do. Now wait a minute, please. We can't act contrary to his nature. It's impossible. Testimonies of his word that are very sure are based upon his holy character. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. You see, his character doesn't change, does it? I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, his word cannot change. What he has written is absolute truth. All scripture is God. God-given, God-inspired. Our faith is grounded upon his truth. The foundation of faith is not my feelings, not my emotions, not my experience. The foundation of faith is what? Thus saith the Lord. Our faith is grounded only upon his truth. Our faith, therefore, is only as strong as his promise. His word, his testimony. Now I want to show you some scripture. I'll let you go. Turn to Psalm 119. Remember that word there, thy testimonies? Thy testimonies are very sure. The record of God is very sure. Psalm 119.
In Psalm 119, with the exception of one or two verses, every verse in Psalm 119 has to do with his word. There's 176 verses in Psalm 119. That's going to take us a while to get through that psalm, isn't it? He talks about his testimonies, his precepts, his word, his statute, his judgments. Now, just considering his testimonies are very sure. Psalm 119, first of all, look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. as much as in all riches, I rejoiced in the testimony of God that's ordered in all things and is sure. Look at verse 24. Psalm 119 now. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. God's testimony is my delight. I'm not in the counseling business. He is the mighty counselor. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Look at verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I've stuck to them. We'll never go wrong trusting him. Look at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed of his testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Look at Psalm 119, verse 99. And there's others I'm sure that we could find here. But verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I meditate upon his testimonies. Therefore, I have understanding. I understand more than the ancients because I've kept thy precepts. Now, verse 111. I like those numbers I can't switch up. I can't transpose this number. 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Look at verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. I love them. I love the testimonies of God. Verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very, very faithful. Lastly now, 168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Thy testimonies are very sure, very sure. You know, just for a moment here, look back over to the Revelation a minute. I've got jotted down this verse here, and I think we read this earlier. But it says that the remnant of the seed, that is believers, in verse 17 of Revelation 12, they keep the commandments of God, they have the testimony. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of the believer? It says in chapter Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They have the testimony that Jesus Christ is everything.